in desperate times, and I hope that you are being desperate for him and praying desperately for our country. Certainly, we need those prayers. Our country needs those prayers. In the summer of 1914, a man named Ernest Shackleton set sail from England with his crew of 27 men on a ship called the Endurance. And the name of that ship would later prove to be very fitting. Shackleton's mission was to become the first explorer, the first person to cross the Antarctica. And Shackleton never made it across the Antarctica, but his story has been since known as the greatest survival story in history. He was less than 100 miles from Antarctica. The Endurance became trapped in the ice. And as the ice compacted, the ship was slowly crushed. And there came a point where it was obvious they had to abandon ship. And so Shackleton commanded all of the crewmen to abandon ship, 28 of them in all, and they left that ship to its icy grave. And for 19 months, these men survived on the ice in the coldest of extreme weather. And it's amazing, not even one of them perished for 19 months in an environment that was so hostile, frigid environment. The men stayed alive. They camped on the ice. They managed to maneuver their small boats to a desolate, lonely piece of rock called Elephant Island. And Shackleton later, he came to this point. There was no hope for them to survive except for him to try and go and get help. And so he took one of their lifeboats and he set out on an 800-mile journey across the world's stormiest seas to search for help. And against all odds, he succeeded. And in the summer of 1916, 2 years after they had set sail from England, he came back to Elephant Island with help. Now, this crew, led by Ernest Shackleton, had faced the threats of starvation and drowning and bitter cold and attacks from vicious leopard seals and unimaginable psychological distress, and all without losing one single life. Now, there's an interesting point that I want to bring to you, and actually ties this message in with what I'm with this illustration that I've started out with. When they abandoned ship, Shackleton's order was that each crewman could take 2 pounds of his own personal items. But there was one exception to this rule. And the exception was one of these fellows, besides 2 pounds of his personal items, he was allowed to bring his banjo from the ship. And you might ask why. And I think the reason is because Shackleton knew where there is music, there is hope. And that banjo proved to be a valuable source of hope for the crew. One crewman, who at first was very skeptical, later admitted that the music was indispensable. The songs from that banjo lifted their spirits, and I'm sure on some days that was their only source of enjoyment. And honestly, I don't know what kinds of songs were played from that banjo and what kinds of words were being sung, but I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't some old Christian hymns that made their way onto that playlist, because certainly these men needed hope. They needed comfort, and there is only one who can give comfort and hope in those kinds of circumstances. Last week, I preached to you a sermon on worship and singing. And I actually reached a point in that sermon where I decided I need to stop preaching because there's just way too much material for the time frame that I had. And so actually, I left part of that material for today. And so today is part two of last week's sermon on worship and singing. Let me remind you what we talked about last week. We had four main points last week, and those four points, if Scott will put them on the screen. Number one, we sing to the Lord. We don't sing to impress the people around us. We're singing unto Him. It's not how we sound, but rather the joyful noise that we are making unto God. Point number two, we are commanded to sing. And so, we want to obey Him. We want to sing because He says that's what we should do. Number three, our singing helps us learn the Scripture. And we talked about last week the fact that a lot of our songs are straight out of Scripture. And so as we sing, we are singing His truth back to Him. Number four, when we sing, we build others up. And isn't that what we experience as we sing together and we are putting our whole heart into our singing? Not only are we blessing Him, but He returns the blessing to us, and we're actually blessing each other because our hearts and our voices are united together in unison, and together we are praising the Lord. There is no God like our God. And I said to you last week, it should be a natural response of worship when we realize how great our God is. That brings me to point number five. Singing is something God's people have done throughout history. Isn't that what the Psalms are? The Psalms are David's prayers and songs, his prayers that were put to music as he's out there tending the sheep in the field. I wish, don't you? I wish we had the music to go along with the words, but we don't. But that's what the Psalms are. God's people have sang throughout history. Maybe you remember what happened as God's people were on the banks of the Red Sea and they're watching as Pharaoh's army is swallowed up by the water. What did they do? They sang. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 says this: Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea. How many of you sang that song in Vacation Bible School? A few of us did. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider fell into the sea. Straight out of Exodus chapter 15. Numbers chapter 21, God gave His people water in the wilderness. Do you remember that story? They were thirsty. There was no water to drink until God brought water to them miraculously. What was their response to God? They sang, Spring up, O well. Another Vacation Bible School song. You see, their songs have become our songs. Judges chapter 5, Israel has just won a battle against Jabin, the king over the Canaanite army. Jabin's commander-in-chief over the army was named Sisera. As you read through this account, you come to find out that Sisera is the only soldier left from the Canaanite army. All the others have been killed. And so he is running for his life, and he runs to this woman whose name is Jael, J-A-E-L, and he pleads with her to save him, to hide him, to rescue him from the Israelite army. And she has a tent. She invites him into the tent, and she says, you'll be okay. And he's asking for a drink. She brings him warm milk. And she says, lay down here. I'll cover you over with a blanket. And, of course, Sisera's worn out. He's just fought in a battle all day long. He's exhausted. This woman is so nice. She's offering him warm milk and a blanket to hide under. And she says, why don't you just take a nap? And he takes a nap. And do you remember what she did? She took a hammer and a tent peg, and she hammered that tent peg right through his temple and killed him. What did Israel do at that point? They sang a song. They sang a song of celebration. Judges chapter 5. In fact, I want to read to you verses 24 through 27. It says, and think of this, as a song that is being sung to the Lord. Most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a magnificent bowl, she brought him curds. She reached out her hand for the tent peg and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera, she smashed his head. This is a great song, isn't it? And she shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he bowed. He fell, he lay. Between her feet he bowed. He fell. When he bowed, there he fell dead. I don't think I've ever sang that song. I thought, boy, that's a hair-splitting song. But God's people, all through history, have been people who have sang to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, Solomon and the people of Israel have just built the temple, and it's dedication day. They are dedicating this temple to the Lord. And how is it that they do that? They sing songs of praise to the Lord. And do you remember what happened? God showed up. God showed up in a big time way, and it was so visible to the people of Israel. Verse 14 says, the glory of God filled the house of God through a cloud. And I think there's a lesson there for us. When God's people sing worship songs to him, guess who shows up? God does. God shows up. And I think we've experienced that here through the years so many times. As we sing songs of worship to him, we have felt his presence. We know that he is here, and we experience his glory. When God's people sing praises to him, God shows up. Psalms 22:3 says that God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. Do you remember what Jesus and his disciples were doing when they left the upper room and they headed towards Gethsemane? Do you remember? They were singing a hymn together. I'm saying God's people through history have been ones who have sung unto the Lord. All through Scripture we see this to be true. Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were in jail, they've been beaten with rods. What were they doing? They were singing hymns of praise to God. Singing will help get us through hard times. Singing is an expression of our faith towards God. Cindy and I just in the last week or two watched Jeremy Camp's movie, I Still Believe. Have any of you seen that? A few of you have seen that. It's a great movie. If you've not seen it, I highly recommend it. Jeremy Camp, if you're familiar with him, sings Christian songs. He's a contemporary artist. And when he first married Melissa, she already had ovarian cancer, and it wasn't long before she had passed away. And this song was born out of that experience of losing his wife to death. So many questions that we have that are unanswered, but the chorus of that song says, I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your truth. I still believe in your holy word. Even when I don't see, I still believe. Wow. Even in the darkest of hours, singing to God in worship is the right thing to do. And he is uplifted, and in turn, he will uplift us. Let me give to you a sixth point. Singing brings joy to our spirit. I have been intrigued by the number of scriptures that have these two topics together, singing and joy. Let me read just a few of them to you. Isaiah 49:13 says, "Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing." Psalms 9:2 says, "I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Psalm 71:23, "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you." Psalms 100:2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing." Psalms 95:1, "O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Psalms 81:1, "Sing for joy to God, our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob." Psalm 66:1-2. "Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious." And then from the New Testament, James 5:13. It says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises." I mean, these are just a portion of the scriptures that bring joy and singing together. And we experience that on Sunday, and we can experience that any day of the week as we, in our own personal time of worship to God, as we sing to him, we can experience the emotion of joy in our spirit. When we bless him, he blesses us. Let me read to you from what I found off the internet about this particular subject. As you study scripture on this point, you'll notice that sometimes singing, hear this, singing gives birth to joy, and sometimes joy gives birth to singing. Now think about that, because really that's something that we could meditate on for quite a while. Sometimes singing gives birth to joy, and joy gives birth to singing. Let me read on what this fellow has to say. "But persistently in Scripture, joy and singing are bound together. You can't study one of those two biblical themes without encountering the other. If you struggle for joy, sing. If you are joyful, sing. In God's perfect design and understanding of the human condition, he has bound joy and singing together for his people." Unquote. That is so true. If you are feeling the blues, sing. Just start singing to the Lord. And it's a way that he can lift your spirit. And on the other hand, if you're already cheerful, if things are going good in your life, then what should you do? Start singing and express through your singing your thanksgiving to God for his blessings. Singing and joy go together. Let me give to you another thought about singing. Number 7, singing leads us towards victory. One of the most amazing stories in the Old Testament is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I would encourage you sometime here in these days ahead, this afternoon, would be good. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and just get that whole story given to you. Because what I'm going to give to you are just snippets from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You really need to read the whole thing to get the big picture. But what is happening here, Jehoshaphat was king over Judah at this time, and it was discovered that a whole multitude of enemy soldiers from Moab and Ammon were marching against them. And there were so many enemy soldiers, and Judah was scared, Jehoshaphat was scared. But here's the thing, Jehoshaphat knew who to turn to. He knew that amidst his fear, amidst his worry, he needed to turn his eyes toward God. In verse 12 of this chapter, this is his prayer. He says, "O our God, we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Isn't that great? We don't know what to do, God, but our eyes are on you. And verse 15, this is where God takes over. He says to Jehoshaphat, "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Verse 17, he says, "You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem." Let me read to you verse 21 through 24 of this chapter. "When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting.'" Do you see what's happening here? Israel is getting ready to fight a battle against a multitude of people. They are far outnumbered by this Ammonite, Moabite army. And so Jehoshaphat gets his people together. They're marching out for war, and he puts the singers in the front. And they start singing praises to God as they're marching towards the battle line. Verse 22, "When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness," they haven't even got to the battle line yet. "When they came to the wilderness," or to the lookout of the wilderness, "they looked towards the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped." Isn't that amazing? When God's people sing worship to Him, victory is just around the corner. There is no foe that we can't have victory over when we are worshiping Him through singing. Let me give to you one final point. Singing will be a part of what we experience in heaven. We'll be singing to the Lamb and to Him who sits on the throne. It will be perfect worship. I don't know what all we're going to be doing in heaven. I think it'll be a whole lot more than just singing. But singing is a part of what will be going on in heaven, and it will be perfect worship. There will be no sin there to distract us. And we will see Him face to face in all of His glory, and a natural response when we see Him in His glory is to go to our knees and our hands uplifted and our voices raised in worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there will be no distractions there. Perfect worship. It's going to be glorious. I want to be there, don't you? I know you do. And I'm thinking, if it's going to be perfect worship up there, what we're doing down here is a warm-up for what's going on up there. I'm going to ask the band members, the praise team, to come back. I have challenged you for 2 weeks to be worshiping Him through singing. And I want us to do that today again. As I pray, then we're going to do some worship towards Him. And I just want to encourage you to pour your whole self into worship towards God. Let's pray. God, help us. As we have been talking about worship now for several weeks, and now this aspect of singing, how it fits in to worship You through our voices and through music, would You help us this morning to lift Your name up above every other name? And we pray this in Jesus' name.